I got a call that this was happening. And I reached out to a couple of people to confirm. And I spoke to some people on other teams. And when I said, hey, my sense is that they're benching Anthony Richardson, the reaction I got from some very smart people was like, of course they're benching him. Like, it wasn't even an option. I couldn't believe how strong people were. And so when I heard that, I'm like, okay, this is happening.
Adam Schefter, of course. I was watching him Sunday morning talking about fantasy football on the ESPN2 Fantasy Focus show. And he, to some injury situation or lineup situation, said, like, literally, a buddy called me this morning to ask me about a certain player. Do you think there's anybody, do you think Adam Schefter takes calls from his friends on Sunday mornings? Like, could you really, if you were his, if it was you and me, and you know, or whatever, like, your best friend is Adam Schefter. Do you literally call him on a Sunday morning to ask him if so-and-so is going to play?
Well, I don't call anyone. But
who calls anyone?
Right. He said called, not texted.
He said called.
Wow.
I wrote it down.
What was this, his dad?
His buddy.
The only time my phone rings, it's my parents. Yeah, or like some political thing that I hang up.
I have not answered the phone in 11 years.
Mm.
He's doing it for his friends who want to know if Michael Pittman is active. Yeah. I don't know. That's what he said. On the Western Hotline now is Trista Crick, Octagon personality, formerly BetMGM, Credenza enthusiast. Trista, how are you?
I feel you're lying to the good folks of Buffalo because I've called you multiple times before on the phone, ring, ring, and you pick up and we
talk.
That's
true. You're right. You are the one person you're right.
Actually. I'm so glad you're on the line right now.
You're right. I'm sorry. I don't want it to be called lying.
Lie.
You're right. I didn't mean it to be lying.
He's lying. Right
generally, now. I don't answer the phone. You're right. You're right. We are literally talking to one person whose calls I take. You're right. I wish I could walk it back.
How many more of these people are out there waiting to call in right now?
If Bulldog gave me his number, he'd answer for me too.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, you would, boy. If I had your phone number and we were texting, and then there was a reason I called you, you would pick that phone.
I actually would, because I care enough about you that I might think you're calling me. There's got to be a good reason. You're in Niagara Falls, Ontario, and you need help or something, whatever. Like, you're close enough by that I could be of assistance, so I would be compelled to pick up the phone.
Yeah. It's fair.
But if I found out you were just hanging out in Portland or D.C. or wherever you jet set around to, Portland and D.C. jet settable, probably not. I exaggerated. I'd be like, well, you called me for this?
To be fair, there's always a reason for the call. Usually there's a pressing matter.
You're right. I pick up when I'm driving. That's the case. All right, Trista. So do you want to get any more Jets stuff off your chest here? We have two,
yeah, I do.
Had two living survivor entries. One of them went down with the Jets in week 8.
And I want to just say that, like, the mentality of just taking whoever is playing the Cowboys, I think, is hitting, for the most part, at about 100% in terms of teams that you would actually take against them, like the Ravens, like the Niners. So, I mean, that's why I kind of wanted it. We did have a scare. A little bit of a scare at the end, but that would have come home because my team is trash. But the Jets are trashier, and we should not have taken them.
What do you think Dallas's final record is?
Oh, that's a great question. I think there's 8 wins at maximum.
Really? Oh, that's playable, right, Trista? Like under 8.5 for the season?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
I think they lose to the Commanders twice. I think they beat the Giants. I think they probably lose to the Eagles twice. So, yeah, I mean, it's just a bad season. This is going to be, like, just look at Genty from Boise State, and you say that's what we get from this abysmal season.
Right. That's right. At like three overall. That'd be so Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. I mean, I'd have to give them credit at least for not having like decrepit old has-been running backs like Dalvin Cook and Ezekiel Elliott. At least that would be an improvement on that. But holy cow. Yeah. What's the timeline? I know, recognizing they just played on Sunday night, but I did not catch any update on like the defensive guys. They're down, Lawrence and Parsons especially. Like, are they coming back anytime soon or no?
I think that is TBD. They're being very tight-lipped with it, and it's just doomed. The season's just doomed, guys. And ultimately, whether there's injuries or not, you just have to be better. You have to have a next man up mentality, and ultimately, I've said this a million times, but the roster's just not good enough.
Boy, if you're right, and we'll move on, but if you're right about their division games coming up, the bottom could really fall out. Their non-division games are usually, most of them are against teams that could really have a stake. Atlanta this week, Houston, Cincinnati, Tampa Bay is in there too, Carolina. But they're going to be playing some teams with big stakes, like make the playoffs or not in some of these cases. So I wonder if it falls apart there. How about the Bills at this point? Go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, yeah, Eagles will be a loss. Texans will be a loss. Commanders loss. Bengals loss. Buccaneers probably a loss. Eagles loss. Commanders loss. I mean, so you're talking about the Giants. You're talking about the Falcons. You're talking about the Panthers.
Yeah.
So it could be six. Could be six wins.
How about Buffalo at 6-2? Josh Allen is the new MVP favorite, Trista.
Here we go. It just keeps popping back and forth in terms of the MVP odds. I mean, finally get Shakir back. He looked really good. Keon Coleman looked good. Obviously, you know, big trade was made to get another target for Josh Allen, which I like a lot. So, obviously, then Deontay Johnson goes to the Ravens, which I think is going to be impactful in terms of just the AFC as a whole. But, yeah, like, the division stinks. You're going to run away with it. That's just what it is. Like, who knows what's happening with the Dolphins? I don't think they're any good. Jets, we talked about, and Patriots, they're good for some, you know, like, stink wins that they pull out against teams that they shouldn't beat, but ultimately you're going to sail into the playoffs, winning the division, top seed, and we'll just see. But I do like the way that James Cook is playing. I like the way that the offense is running. You know, things feel back to being like what we expect from the Bills. Like when the offense is not operating at all cylinders, that's when we start to get concerned.
Did you get an eyeful of the swag? I'm reluctant to use that phrasing because I'm a 59-year-old man. But Keon Coleman, like, style was off the charts on Sunday. Did you see he had red and blue cleats to match red and blue gloves? And the deal he had going with Reek Woolen, like, Woolen knocked down a jump ball throw in the end zone, I think on first down, and then went in on Coleman. And Coleman just sort of tilted his head and took it and walked away. And then two plays later, I think it was, Coleman catches, same play on the other side of the field, makes the play, and, like, taps Woolen on the head like he's a teammate. Like, good job. Nice rep. I the style is off the charts with this kid.
I know. I'm looking at the photo again right now. He's just one of the most likable dudes that you could possibly have. And as someone who feels bad for Steph Diggs and the injury, the ACL season ending, likes Stephon Diggs, has interviewed him a bunch of times, thinks he's a nice guy. Like, Keon he doesn't seem to have any negative vibes in his soul, right? So he's going to be a vibe guy. He kind of reminds me a little bit like Tyrese Maxey, just always happy, glass always more than half full, is able to, like, really translate that and the marketability, and also is producing on the field. I mean, I wasn't a huge fan of the pick. I was kind of, like, in favor of the Xavier Worthy pick. But now that he's there, I just think it's a great fit.
Trista Crick with us, Mike Schopen and the Bulldog, out at Roswell Park today. So, Super Bowl. You've got Kansas City at 7-0, but another game where they just don't look really that good. If you didn't have the recent years, you wouldn't necessarily be. They might be one of these teams we seem to get every season where the record's great, but the eye test just doesn't really work. And I don't know, NFC is just, I mean, Washington. NFC is Detroit. Kind of anybody. Yeah. Detroit. Detroit Green Bay this week is really good, especially if Love plays.
I think of the NFC teams, I looked at the odds yesterday, and I thought it was pretty interesting. I think San Francisco was the second favorite for the Super Bowl in the NFC. I think it's Detroit, Kansas City, Detroit, San Francisco, and then the Bills, I think, are fourth. But I was surprised to see San Francisco. They've had kind of an uneven start. Maybe that's just a bet on some guys getting healthy, especially McCaffrey. Obviously, Ayuk's not coming back.
And first place is 4-4.
Right.
So, and is there a bet here you like, Trista? Is there a play?
To me, I hate to say it, but like part of it is wondering whether Washington is a team of destiny, whether they're a team that could really make waves in the NFC as a whole, right? Like, the thing that is interesting to me for Washington is not just how the offense is running, but how the defense is. You're talking about the ninth best defense in the NFL in total DVOA, which is a nerd stat that a bunch of nerds use, and so I use it too. So they were the worst defensively in every single category last year. Pass defense, you could basically take the player props of every wide receiver one going up against Washington to get over 100 yards. And now that's just really not the case, right? Like, they're holding teams to somewhat low-scoring games, and Jaden Daniels is him. He just absolutely has it. Even with him being banged up, whatever that clutch gene is, he has it straight away. And so you look at Washington, you look at how the NFC East is shaking out, kind of like it's just them and pretty much everyone else, and I don't think that Philly really is there comparatively. And you say Dan Quinn, I think, has this defense shaped up now, and the offense with Terry McLaurin, they've got a real running game, they've got two-headed monster in the running game. They got multiple guys, like Zach Ertz is kind of having a reemergence as well. He's become like a little bit of a security blanket for Jaden. So I as a Cowboy fan, this pains me. But really what I'm seeing is feeling like it could be worth at least a bet. I like Detroit, obviously, like I have. I don't like San Francisco. There's just not a lot in the NFC that you can really feel great about. Packers as well, I kind of like. That NFC North as a whole is kind of like, I don't really know what to make of it.
I still have not. Maybe it's because it's the favorite. I've never been comfortable leaning into Detroit. That game against Tennessee was really stupid. Like, we mentioned how the Bills Bulldog gave up, was it 233 yards? Mm-hmm. The Lions gained fewer yards on Sunday than Seattle did.
Yeah.
And they won by 38.
They scored 50. They had like 85 passing yards.
I mean, just
it was a bunch of returns and stuff.
They had one drive longer than 26 yards, and they scored 52 points. I mean, that doesn't have to be a sign that they're not great or at least good. That division is so good, though, I think still, that the Washington idea has merit if you think the Cowboys are bad, the Giants are bad, and Philadelphia is kind of mid, so maybe Washington gets to a place where they're playing at home in the playoffs. That's kind of crazy.
I have been feeling very much, I think, even in our conversations with you, Trista, like Philadelphia was in real trouble, but maybe they got right. I mean, there was a lot of encouraging stuff from Hurts, not just the three rushing touchdowns, but, you know, the passing stuff down the field. There was a lot of good stuff there. There's always been a lot of talent. It was just like the vibes were all messed up with Sirianni and Hurts, and maybe they got it all ironed out.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, but we should also keep in mind that the Cincinnati Bengals defensively are buns. So I think they're 18th in total defense, kind of very mid. They got... I mean, it was a hell of a comeback, too, right? Cincinnati had the lead early on. So I'm not ready to say that yet. I need the Eagles to do this against good defenses before I can truly say I think that this offense is potent. Like, they got 16 points against the Buccaneers. That's just not good enough. 20 against the Browns. So, like, if you're going up against the Giants and the Bengals, and you're putting up points there, I just need to see it against you know, better defenses, which we won't really see until probably the Commanders game on November 14th at home.
Trista, always a pleasure. We got to run. Thanks for your time.
No, I've got to run.
Okay. Well, let's race.
Talk to you guys later.
Trista Crick, Octagon, Credenzas, etc. We will have Ross Tucker on at 5. Next, Cheryl Rachek here from Roswell Park talking about lung cancer screening. We will do that after a break. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.